Body Mind Spirit Radio is proud to present, live from the Wandering Owl in Jackson, Michigan, Pagan Spirit Shamanic Life, the show to ask and get answers about your spiritual path, with your host, James Stovall. The call-in number is 646-378-0378.
Thank you, Reverend Tommy Diablo. It is Wednesday, July 9th, and you're listening to Pagan Spirit Shamanic Life here on Body Mind Spirit Radio. I'm trying a new method of audio tonight, so hopefully this will keep up with us. I feel a lot better using new technology after Mercury retrograde is over, but hope everybody's doing well. It seems like forever since I've talked to you guys. I have a great guest tonight, Lady Bonadilla, someone who I met several years ago. I think at the Six Crows gathering was the first time that I met her, an amazing energy worker. And I've had the chance to hang out with her several times, most recently at Michigan Pagan Fest, which was a fabulous event this year. Really amazing. Quick preview, too, for next month's show. I'm going to be doing a divination special where I'm going to try to get together myself and a few of the readers here at the Owl and do some divination for some call-ins. And so join me for that. Let me return quickly to Pagan Fest because it was such a great event this year. As always, it just seems like it keeps getting better and better. And I did the Sacred Fire, and along with my friend Saren Thodenson and Joy Weed Medic, and just an amazing experience. A lot of healing was done there. I also had a chance to do the Peruvian Fire Ceremony, which always seems to go really well. And I was really, really honored this year, because after the fire was over, I was given a stone, and the person who gave me the stone told me that he had attended ceremonies with a Karu, a native of Peru, one of the Native Americans that my tradition comes from, and he said that I called the prayers, the directions, in a way that was very similar. It just reminded him so much of that native. And so I was really excited, really honored, because that's about the best sort of endorsement that you can get. Had fun on the authors panel. That's always a lot of fun. I sat on there with Lady Bonadilla and a few other people this year. Got to answer some questions, talked a little bit about aspects of how to pass on knowledge and what happens as generations change. So that was really exciting. Peruvian Fire Ceremony, I want to keep going back to that one too, because that is really the only place I do a fire ceremony in a public context. And so you never know exactly what you're going to get. And we had a really, really strong wind the night of the fire ceremony. It was downright chilly, a lot colder than any June that I can think of, and I was worried. I have to tell you, I was a little bit stressed all day, thinking to myself, what is going to happen at this fire ceremony? The wind just seemed to get stronger and stronger, and even as I was trying to set up for the fire ceremony, it kept shifting things around, the prayer leaves, the kintu I put in to start everything, the scraps of paper and other herbs that I put in were all getting blown around. And it was pointed out to me later that the wind completely stopped during the ceremony. As I was doing the opening prayers, things settled down, the wind died down, and by the end of the fire ceremony, the wind had completely gone away. It was an amazing experience. The reason I bring that up is because I do need to get a little bit of self-promotion out there. Michigan Pagan Fest is the only place that I do a public fire ceremony, but I want to let you guys know that you can have me come to your home and do a Peruvian fire ceremony. I will do them for private events, and I will do them at your home. And if you want details on that, please send me an email, Jim@thewanderingowl.com, And if you go to thewanderingowl.com, that is our store here in Jackson, Michigan that my wife and I run, and that's kind of our home base. And you can check that out too, because we have classes and we have things for sale on the website. And, you know, even if you're looking for an excuse to come to Jackson, one thing I should mention, huge event going on here in Jackson next month. Because, you know, our shop is kind of small, little kind of hole in the wall. It's small. I admit it's not huge like some of the stores you're going to find over in the Detroit or Ann Arbor area. But maybe you're within the Michigan, Northern Ohio area, and you're looking for a reason to come see us. The first weekend of August, the 2nd and 3rd, there's a huge event in downtown Jackson called How Bazaar. 30 different artists, all kinds of different restaurants, and you can buy tasting tickets for $10 and get tastes of all these local Jackson restaurants. You can get, there'll be live music on several stages, a huge kids area, a lot of things going on, and it's going to kick off with a color run, a run or die color run on Saturday morning. So if you've been looking for an excuse, come to Jackson to see the owl and give us a visit. That's the weekend that you should think of, because we're also going to have psychic readers out on the street that day. So that's pretty exciting, and I thought I better mention that. Last thing, while I'm thinking of upcoming events, this is a small one. Make sure that you tune in to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio tomorrow. Tomorrow at this time at 7 p.m. is Journeys into Wellness, which is the next show on the network, and it's a great show, and I want to make sure that you check that one out. And with that, I am going to get around to talking to my guest tonight. My guest tonight, like I said, Lady Bonadilla, so well regarded around the pagan community around Michigan, Ohio. She's so well known. And, you know, she is so loved. And I kid you not about this. Like I said, I met her several years ago, I think at the Six Crows Gathering for the first time. And since then, we've had the opportunity to be at several other events together. We've been at Michigan Pagan Fest together a few different years. And there is absolutely nowhere that she can go without people wanting to rush up and give her a hug and ask how she's doing, a very beloved person in our community. So welcome to Pagan Spirit Shamanic Life, Lady Bonadilla.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you on. I've been really looking forward to this. And, you know, I think, what was it, the Six Crows Gathering that we got together for the first time, that we met the first time?
Yes, it was. You're correct.
That's what I was thinking. You see, someone should go tell my wife. My memory does not always fail me. That's a good thing. So.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, several years ago, actually.
Yes, it was, because I don't think I've been to Six Crows in probably 3 or 4 years now, so I give some idea of the timetable. So I asked you to come on tonight because you have a lot of interesting things going on, and one of the things that we got a chance to talk about quite a bit at Michigan Pagan Fest was your Demia Matrix, which is an energy matrix that you have been teaching, and I wanted to hear the story about how you learned about this and how you're coming to know it so you can pass it on to other people, because it's a phenomenal energy healing system that's kind of unlike anything else out there.
Well, it's quite an amazing story how I received the Matrix, and I love to tell it, so because I just think it's so amazing. So when I was a child, these beings that were all made of energy would come and visit me, and I didn't know what to think of them. I didn't know how to label them, so I called them the magic ghost trees because they were all energy, just white energy, and they were kind of shaped like trees. And sometimes you could see through them, and they were like trees, except that they could move around and they could talk to me. So they were magic ghost trees. And anytime I had an issue or was upset about something or confused about something, I could go to my favorite oak tree at the very far corner of our property and sit there with my dolls, and the magic ghost tree was always right there. And I would just tell this being everything, and I would get advice, I would get comfort and solace, and It was kind of my secret. And there were several of these beings, and only one ever seemed to do the talking. And I noticed that they, like I said, they were shaped like trees. They kind of had these branches that were like threads of energy, and they could spread them out. They could change their shape a little bit. And I noticed that sometimes they could spread them out, and it reminded me of angel wings. So
Really interesting.
Yeah, so I thought, well, you know, if someone else saw these, they might think that they were angels, but I knew that they were actually magic ghost trees. And I didn't know where they came
too,
from.
By the way. The magic ghost trees is so fabulous. It's so shamanic, and it just taps into that childlike sense of wonder. It's an awesome name for them.
Yes, and I just accepted them. I thought everybody had them, you know. I didn't talk about them because other things that I would talk about, it would kind of freak my family out. They were pretty put off by the fact that I could see people who had already died, and that I would just know certain things. They couldn't figure out how I knew it. So they told me that I had a wild imagination and just to keep things to myself. So yeah, I didn't really talk about the ghost trees. And then when I hit puberty, they kind of disappeared. Let me rephrase that. I stopped being aware of them because I don't think they went anywhere. I think I stopped being aware of them and kind of delegated them to my fanciful childhood memories and didn't pay much attention. And, you know, I've had an exciting life. I've had lots of adventures and raised a family in there and had a farm and all of that. And about 12 years ago, I was where I live now, my house faces a woods. There's a woods just several yards outside my front door, which is wonderful, except that we get lots of mosquitoes on the porch. But it's wonderful having woods so close. But the trees were dying in the woods. And at that moment in time, I didn't know why they were dying. And it's a protected wetland woods. So I was out there one night in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. And I was out there sending love to the trees, hoping that that would keep some of them from dying. And all of a sudden, I realized there are these forms, these kind of shadowy, foggy, ghostly-looking forms that were kind of tall and shaped like a column, standing between me and the trees. And I was a little concerned, and I said, well, I don't know who you are, or what you're doing, but you can stay here as long as you don't interfere with what I'm doing. I'm sending love to my trees, and, you know, so you can't interfere. And they didn't move. They just stood there, and I had hoped that they would dissipate, but they didn't. And so I continued to just broadcast love out of my heart to the trees, but it bothered me that they were still there. I thought that they were trying to block it. So I thought, well, okay, I know how to do this. I can make my astral body stretch, and I will stretch up above the trees and broadcast my love to the trees from up above, and then they can't bother me. And, well, when I did that, these figures stretched up there with me.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, so it's like, oh, wait a minute now. I think you're interfering. And they told me, no, that they were helping me. And so then I was full of questions. Well, it seems like you're interfering. And they said, no, we're helping you to broadcast this love. And I said, well, how could you have love inside of you? And when I said that, all of a sudden they all developed a beating heart in their what would be their chest area if they were a human shape.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, oh, my gosh, you did that for me? And they said, yes. And then they developed faces, so they were talking to me, and I had a face to focus on, and so I was just amazed, you know, and I said, why are you here? And they said, well, it's time. Now, at this point, I still hadn't made the connection. I didn't realize these were my beloved magic ghost trees. They looked a little different, and I was older. This was only a dozen years ago, and I'm in my mid-60s now, so quite a lot of time had gone by.
Yeah, exactly.
So I said, time for what? And then one of them, the one that was doing all the talking, he kind of made an arm out of his energy and laid it on top of my head. And all of a sudden, I was seeing all these geometric patterns and mathematical equations with all kinds of symbols that
wow.
kind of seemed familiar, but they were going so fast, they kind of looked familiar, but I couldn't tell what they were. And the thought struck me, what are you putting math and geometry in my head for? I am very limited in my understanding of math. I got a sympathy D in geometry. You know, I'm not the one you should be giving this information to. And plus, I was getting a headache, you know, and so I said, it's going too fast. You're giving me a headache. So he removed his hand, and my headache went away. And then he did it again and some more. You know, I'm seeing all these shapes, and things are going very fast. And at some point, I said, well, you know, you're kind of scary looking. And they said, well, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of us. Humans you should fear, but you should never fear us. And I didn't know what he meant. So all of a sudden, I was seeing images of war from all the different time periods in human history. And
wow.
each successive image was more and more violent until I was very upset, and I asked them to stop. And he said, yes, we're only here to help. You have nothing to fear from us. And that particular evening's experience ended at that point. But I found myself wanting to go back, and so, you know, another night I went back, and another night I went back. And at one point I asked them, well, what can I call you? You know, who are you really? And so they seemed confused by that question, like I really didn't need a label. But then they gave me one. And so they said that they were the Demea. And I said, well, where did you come from and why did you come to me? And they said, well, we've always been with you. And I didn't know what they were talking about. So then they started showing me scenes from my childhood of going out to the oak tree and talking to them. And then, you know, I made the connection. Oh, my gosh, you're my magic ghost trees. You've come back. And they said, well, we never left. You know, we never left. But it's time now. And so you are aware of us now because we have stuff to do. And so they were teaching me about energy patterns, and that's what the geometric shapes were all about. And it was amazing stuff. I had already found my path as a pagan at that point, and I learned a lot of traditional stuff, but what they were teaching me was what's behind the scenes, what makes magic work, what is the essence of the universe on an energetic level, not on an atomic level, but an energetic level. What are the blueprints of everything that exists in physical reality built on? What is the ultimate core framework? And those were amazing teachings. And they taught this to me over several years. And I started to understand what the geometric patterns meant. I still wasn't sure what the symbols and formulas meant. And they definitely taught me on a need-to-know basis.
Well, that's one way to keep you from getting overwhelmed.
Yes. So they would give me a little nugget, and so then I would process that. And sometimes it would take me a day, sometimes a month, sometimes a whole year, trying to figure out what that was all about. And then they would give me another little piece, like you would teach a child. You know, I asked them, why don't you just tell me the whole thing? I want to know it all. I want to know all the answers. And they said, well, you would not tell a three-year-old child who has asked you where do babies come from the doctor's handbook on gestation and birth.
Right, exactly.
Because the child would not understand it. You have to lead up to it. You have to build layers of a foundation of understanding to get to the ultimate mystery. And that's what we're doing with you. So I backed off of that. I must know everything at once. And there's many layers to each of their lessons. And I would think I had it all understood, and I would meet with them. And it turned out I didn't have to meet with them out in the woods, though I often went there, but they started showing up in my house. Now, let me describe them a little better. They're all energy, and so around them is a humming sound that kind of sounds like music, mm-hmm. but no, you couldn't identify what instrument would have made that sound, and it kind of sounded like singing, but not quite. And I could put my hand into them, and it just felt gently warm and tickly, kind of.
Sure.
And they could change their size. They could fit in a room. If they were outside, they would be as tall as the trees. I've actually seen them taller than the trees. So they can adjust. And, let me tell you this one little story. They did appear to me. The last time I remembered seeing them was when I was 10 years old, but I didn't realize it was them because it was only one that showed up, and it showed up in a different way. It wasn't shaped like a tree. But I had had a very traumatic experience when I was 10. I had been assaulted. And it wasn't getting acknowledged. Nobody quite knew what to do. And this was 1959. So nobody knew what to do about
right.
a child having that experience. So it was, well, she looks okay to me kind of thing, you know, and it wasn't ever dealt with. But I was really suffering. And one night I couldn't get to sleep, and all of a sudden, I found myself outside my bedroom window, 10 years old. It was in March. There was snow on the ground. I didn't know how I got out there, but I could feel I was in my bare feet, and I realized I was standing in the snow, but the snow didn't feel cold. And in front of me was this giant glowing figure. And my 10-year-old mind, you know, I'm looking at this giant glowing figure. I did not feel afraid at all. It felt wonderful to be in the presence of whatever this was. And I looked up at it, and it was as tall as the house. And, you know, I was raised Anglican Catholic, which is Episcopalian, okay? And so I ended up not following that path, of course, but that's how I was raised. That was my background. And so I'm looking up at this figure, and I realize that it looks just like the Jesus in the picture hanging in the Sunday school classroom.
Oh, wow.
The one we all know isn't, you know, a historical one because he's
sure.
fair-skinned and has blonde, curly hair, you know. And blue eyes. But that's what he looked like. That's what this figure looked like. And I realized at that moment that okay, whatever this being is looking like this so it will not frighten me, because that's not really how Jesus looks.
Oh, I see. So they were doing that to set you at ease.
Yeah, so I said that out loud. I said, so you look like a Jesus nightlight. And you look like this, well, you know, like a giant glowing nightlight. And
right.
I said, you look like this so that I won't be afraid. And he said, yes. And I reached into him. I wanted to touch him because I could see the folds in his robes. And I reached out to touch him, and my hand went inside. And like I said, it felt very warm and comforting. And the only thing I wanted to do at that moment was just to climb inside. It was just so wonderful. There's no words to describe the feeling coming from that figure. And he would not let me come any closer. He kind of pushed me back. And I remember that he was talking to me, but I don't remember the sound of his voice. I remember nodding my head often, nodding that I understood what he was telling me. And the only thing, and it seemed like he talked to me for a very long time, and the only thing I remember him saying was I would be working with his mother. And it took me until just a few years ago to figure out what that meant. And that was the last time I saw these beings, and I didn't realize that that was also them until they showed up again in my woods and showed me that picture. They said, no, that was also us. We've been with you your whole life. We've been with you for many of your past lives also.
Now,
and
I want to take a second. If anybody has any questions for Lady Bonadilla on this topic or anything regarding to any things that she's doing, you can call in at 877-497-2931, or you can join us in the chat room here on the panel where you're listening to this show. You can log into that flash chat and post your questions there, and I'll give them to Lady Bonadilla. Now, I wanted to ask the question. It's really fascinating to me about the geometric shapes, because you know my mentor, Mateo, she had this theory that she used to give talks about at convocation, and it was the concept the first shaman used to see geometric shapes, especially when they rub their eyes, as we all do, but you see those geometric shapes, and that was the first beginning of understanding and communication with spirits. And that reminded me so much of what you were just talking about with the geometric shapes. I find that fascinating. Now, the Domeya, have you found any other reference to them in the literature, anything like that?
No, and believe me, I have searched. I love researching things. And as soon as they gave me that name, you know, the next day I was on the computer trying to find it. And I found something kind of close to it, a couple of things kind of close to it. One was the name of characters in a video game. So I knew that wasn't
that's quite funny in its own right.
Yes, and they weren't friendly characters in a video game either. And so I'm fascinated by the roots of words, so I started to dissect the word and approached it from that angle. And so D-O-M, you know, is an ancient Latin root word for lord of place.
Oh, interesting.
For someone who is guarding a location.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was fascinating. And it's like, all right, that makes sense to me. And so when I talked to them again about that, when I met them the next time, then and I told them, and they said, why are you going to human sources to answer your questions about us? Ask us. And so it's like, okay, all right, I see your point.
Do you think they could be related to the land spirits, as the land vatir, as they're called in the Norse tradition, or maybe fae energy of some sort?
Oh, I definitely think so. I don't often get absolute direct yes or no answers from them. And I think because they want me to put the clues together. You know, I learn more when they don't give me direct answers. And some of the questions I would ask, you know, how would you answer that question? If I said, are you the Fae? Are you the same thing as the Fae?
Exactly. They'd never answer straight.
How would they answer that? Because what they are is so beyond that limited concept, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course I think they are. They said that they have been on the planet for a very, very, very long time. And it's their job to protect the human race from ourselves. They said just last year they told me that they are really conservationists and they're here to make sure that we don't make ourselves extinct.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And they protect the land. They help the energy patterns in the earth to rejuvenate from the damage that we've done to the earth. But they said that's not what really needs healing. They said what really needs healing are the humans.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the humans that are doing the damage, and we're doing the damage out of our own fear and pain. And the fear specifically that we feel we have to own everything and control everything because we're afraid of losing something, or we are afraid we have lost something, and we're always searching for something that we've lost, but we don't know what that something is. And here's their big teaching on that, which I think is so, so important. They said that everything is built on a core energy pattern, hence the geometric shapes they were showing me, and including the planet. Everything that exists in the physical world is built on a geometric pattern. And that pattern is built out of pure, unconditional love. That's just the way it is. That's, you know, from source, as radiated out from source with intention. And we have, because our pattern has been interfered with, which they have not explained yet. They're saving that mystery for another time, I guess. But they said our patterns have been interfered with, and so we have lost sight of, that has been obscured, we have lost sight of our connection to source. We haven't lost our connection because that can't be broken, just like your bloodline. You can't break the bloodline connection to your biological parents. Even if you don't know them, you're still connected by blood. And they said we are still connected by source because we are still on the thread of intention that was sent out. And so what we can do is become aware of our connection. And that's where this particular healing pattern comes into play. This Demea matrix, which I gave it a name, I needed to call it something. They didn't name it that. They just said here. You know, here it is.
It's hard to tell other people about it until you have a name for it.
Right. You have to call it something because of, and they said that's really a physical world kind of thing. We have to have labels because we have to look at things in pieces. We mm-hmm. couldn't comprehend the whole picture because we're in the physical plane, and the whole picture is much bigger than that. So this Demea matrix is an energy pattern, and it feeds core energy patterns. It only recognizes the true core energy pattern that came from source, not any of the interference patterns that have been built out of fear. And so when it comes in contact with a life form, this matrix, when it comes in contact with a life form, it connects to the geometric pattern, the core energy pattern of that life form, and feeds it energy straight from the source. And here is how that happens. this pattern, and I wish you could see through the radio, but this pattern is kind of a wheel shape. It has eight spokes. It has a center with eight spokes. And you need to open it by turning it clockwise in a certain way, and that certain way is how it's activated, and I really can't show how to do that on the radio, but this is what I go around teaching. So so it has to be activated by being turned in a particular way. And when it is turned, when it is activated, what happens is that center is a portal, and it opens up into another dimension of potential energy. And that potential energy is source. And that energy comes shooting out, runs down the eight spokes, and feeds any life form that is in the area. When it comes in contact with a light form, then that point of intersection then becomes another center of another replication of the matrix. And then it turns automatically from the momentum, which then opens another portal, which then releases more energy. And it keeps growing like this exponentially.
So and what I'm hearing from that, if I may, is that, you know, with my experience with Reiki, is that it's tapping into a similar source energy, but that source energy goes through the person that's channeling the Reiki energy, where with the matrix you're able to set up a gateway, which is tapping into that, what in my mind would be similar energies, but in a different, more geometric form, and it's removing the middle person, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think I can relate to what you're saying. Yes, this works in a very direct way, and it gets completely absorbed, just like when we eat a carrot, it doesn't stay a carrot. It gets broken down to how our body needs it, and then is absorbed. So the energy of this is absorbed, and eventually it would become completely absorbed, and then is no longer growing. And so then it can be done again. And it can. What is most remarkable is to draw out the pattern on the ground, on the earth, and then have people walk the eight rays out, and then people actually walk the pattern in the way that this needs to be activated. And then they feel the energy coursing out of the center. People have seen visions. People sometimes hear sounds. People often are pushed back a little bit by the energy coming out. Some people start crying. It's just absolutely amazing. It goes through them. They become then centers of another version of the matrix, and eight rays shoot out from each of them, and so on, and it feeds the plant life, the animal life, other humans. It feeds everything and restores the harmony of the core energy pattern of whatever it touches.
That is really, really fascinating. I like the description of how that works. And you told me about an experience that you had. I think it was sleeping under it, or someone you knew slept under it for an injury. It was like on the ceiling of the room, and it had quite an effect while they were just sleeping, doing all that healing constantly while they were resting.
Yes, actually, I've had many, many amazing experiences with this. And I had a cancer scare last year where a doctor had found some lesions and had me set up an appointment to come back for a biopsy. And he was concerned about these lesions. And I was very concerned. I was very upset. And a friend of mine who knew about the matrix said, "Well, have you used the matrix?" And it's like, oh my goodness, I got all caught up in the fear and forgot all about it. So I put the pattern of the matrix over me and while I rested. And when I went to the doctor a couple of days later, they went to do the biopsy. There were no lesions there to do the biopsy from.
That is completely amazing.
Yes, it is. It is. And I have seen dead trees that have been proven dead, you know, where you snap a twig to see if it's green underneath when it looks dead, just in case it might be dormant. It was dead. I drew the matrix on my hand and put my hand on the tree trunk, and a couple of weeks later it sprouted leaves, and then flowers, and then fruit, which was amazing because the tree was a little sapling, and the nursery people had said not to expect any fruit for at least 5 years. Well, it was only, we had only had it for a year.
That's incredible.
And it had died the summer before that, and I just didn't have anybody to help me dig it up. And the
That's
tree came
incredible.
Back to life and produced fruit. The apples on it were so big, I had to pick them early because it was bending the branches over.
Wow. Now, I would be remiss. I have to ask. I would be remiss if I was a host if I didn't ask you if there was any place that you were going to be teaching about this soon. And I did notice when I was getting set up for the show that you have a GoFundMe account set up for the expansion of your teaching of this. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. I was planning on mentioning it and had almost forgotten. I just put it up there, and I'm not very well-versed with computer things, so there's still a couple glitches on that page, which I will fix once I figure out how to do it. But, yes, I am looking for funding so that I can take this all over the country and all over the world. The Domea said I am supposed to share this. I'm supposed to get this out here to everyone because only humans can do this, and this can really help. This can help to save the human race and consequently the Earth itself. I do want to say, though, it is not the only energy pattern out there. I certainly don't claim to have the only one out there. This is one. And this mm-hmm. particular one has been presented to humans many times over. But Domea showed me many scenes of different cultures that had this information, that had this pattern. It's in many myths and legends, like the Native American legends that many of you, I'm sure, have heard of about the Star Maiden, the Star Maiden legends.
Right.
The pattern for that, the map of the Star Maiden, the pattern that's supposed to take them all home is the Domea Matrix.
Oh, okay. So you did find accounts of it, just not of the name Domea.
Right, and I was also informed that they gave me that name because that name would make sense to me. That different
sure.
cultures
sure.
knew them by different names. So, which really opens it up to, of course, I'm sure that they are the Fae, and of course, I'm sure that they were seen as angels. And you know, they might be how we have experienced divinity also. That's
mm-hmm.
a possibility. They don't
well,
have
anybody,
to be on that one.
Anybody that's interested, they can go to www.gofundme.com/B4SBB4, and that will take you right to the proper GoFundMe page so you can contribute and see about spreading this all over the world. And is there any place more local to Michigan or Ohio that you're teaching that anytime soon?
Well, I'm going to be teaching at a Blackberry Pines farm in a couple of weeks over the weekend. It's just an impromptu. People can go, they can contact Blackberry Pines Farm on Facebook or on the Internet and find out about how they can do that. And I will go if people invite me to come and do this for them. I will go. I just need funds to be able to get there and back and to take care of myself while I'm there. But also my website, which is mysticbonadia.com, has all kinds of stories about the Jamea and the Matrix, all kinds of articles about how it can be used. There's many ways it can be used, and everybody can use it, and I will be happy to teach that to you. There's also a meditation on that site that's built on quotes from the Jamea regarding the Matrix and how it works. And that's for anybody. Anybody can use that meditation. So please visit the website. And I have a calendar on the website, too, that says where I'm going to be next and how to contact me.
I'll make sure I get that information out there on my Twitter feed and such as well so people can find those for you. Now, I love, so many times when you're dealing with spirit, I love the fact through the stories that you've been told, you're telling, is that they ask us a lot of times to take these giant leaps of faith, right? I love how that happens. It's such a common occurrence. But I like how through the stories that you're telling there was this whole process that you went through where you built confidence in them. Like all of a sudden you realized what they were telling you was real and it was verifiable. And like you said, little bits at a time. And I love that because that strikes me as so common with a lot of spiritual paths. You just, you're asked to jump in feet first, but it's so nice when they give you this in bite-sized pieces.
Well, it's like taking a step and not knowing where your foot's going to land. And just, you know, trusting that whoever is leading you knows what they're doing.
I mean, it must be good, you know, when the spirits say, well, here, we're going to give you something that'll heal the world. I know my reaction would be along the lines of, this is me you're talking to. I think you might have a wrong number.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank goodness they didn't tell me that. I would have said no. You know, are you giving me a choice? I'll say no because I don't think I'm up for the task. So they showed me the pattern and then said, so here's how you can use it. Light will come out of it and you can use it to help, and this is how it helps. And don't worry about doing it wrong because, you know, we're doing it with you. So until you figure it out, until you get experience, we're doing it with you, so you can't go wrong with it.
That's really great. And, you know, as those verification steps started, was there any other things like omens or anything like that, something that didn't involve the Jamea directly that just kind of resonated with you and you went, oh, this is all coming together. I understand where this is coming from.
Oh, my gosh, it's like Christmas morning all the time. Synchronicities, you know, synchronicities happening everywhere. People that I meet somehow have they say, what do you think of the Pleiades? And it's like, oh, my gosh, what do you think of the Pleiades? And then we talk about that for a while. And I showed someone who's now a good friend of mine, I showed someone this the pattern of the Jamea Matrix, and he says, oh, yeah, that's the map of the Star Maiden. Well, I had never heard that legend, so he told me the legend. And that legend is cross-cultural. It's in Indonesia. It's in North America. It's in indigenous. It's down in South America. All these different cultures that didn't know anybody else had it. It was in ancient Egypt. And I'm hearing this from different people when they see the Matrix. They go, oh, that's from so-and-so, and that's from that place. And so lots of validation and verification. And the miracles that I see happen with it are, there's more to it, though. There's a lot of, our journeys are made up of challenges. Mm-hmm. And it seems humans don't learn unless they have a challenge to teach them.
That's for and sure. So, you know, thinking of, actually, that in my mind, my brain always connects these little things together, but, you know, it's probably because we're talking about the Matrix, but your Jamea Matrix, but your statement reminds me of the movie The Matrix, where they tried talking about, they initially gave the humans the perfect world and we rejected it. And that reminds me of that, where there's not a challenge. We're not, humans just get bored. We're not interested. We can't accept it.
Right, we don't put any value to it because we didn't earn it. I'm thinking.
Now, if I can ask, on your website, which is mysticbonadilla.com, I see that there is a picture of the Matrix as a symbol. Is that,
yes,
if someone went to your website and just looked at that symbol, is there some place until they could get to a class or a workshop with you that they could begin? Should they just start working on meditating on that symbol? Or what's the best way to proceed in kind of learning about this stuff until they could get to a class or a workshop? Or you have a book out, whichever comes first.
Yeah, well, I'm working on the book. I'm waiting for a few more answers. You know, I want to have some more answers in there. Yes, well, all you need to do for the Matrix to work for yourself is to look at the symbol and focus on the center and then imagine it spinning clockwise. And it doesn't have to spin fast, just as long as it's going clockwise. Now, activating on the ground is a little bit different, but this works for individual work. So imagine that it's a type of mandala, which it really does fit that definition. Mm-hmm. Just stare at the center, focus on the center, and imagine it spinning. It has an amazing calming effect, and you can feel your thoughts, your thought processes shifting a little bit. It's just amazing. And the meditation is on the site, too, and that's for anybody. You feel free to use the meditation, and it explains kind of how it works and what the Matrix symbolizes. You know, not only is it an energy pattern that does amazing things, but it's also a symbol that tells the whole story of how this world works. What happens when we connect with each other in a feeling of acceptance, which I feel acceptance is the true definition of perfect love, of unconditional love. So it explains all of that, and it made it very clear to me as to why humans are the ones that can do this. Animals can't do it. They're already aware of their connection to Source. Humans need to do this. This is what we can do to save ourselves and to save our planet. And we start with ourselves, one person at a time.
This really seems like something that you would want to do, maybe in addition to a grounding and centering meditation or as a stress reliever after you get home from a busy day. This might actually be the a cure for some people with their, you know, insomnia problems or something like that, is to do some meditation with this right before they retire for the evening.
Absolutely. I do it every morning. I do the meditation every morning, and it keeps me centered throughout the day. I'm kind of an A, type A personality. You know, I get anxious often and stress out about things, and this helps me keep my center so that I don't do that so much. I have found it very healing in that regard alone.
Now, what has the reaction been of, like, people who are spiritual workers on a different path? Maybe they're more Wiccan, or maybe they're more ceremonial or magic-based or something like that. What kind of reaction have they had to the Matrix? Do you have any stories of that?
Oh, I have lots of stories. You'd need several hours to hear them all. Everybody, once they get past the fact that a Wiccan high priestess is teaching this, then they can see that this has nothing to do with any religious tradition. I say that up front. This has nothing to do with the Wiccan path. It has nothing to do with the Christian path or any path. This is the root. This is deeper than any particular tradition. This will not interfere with any teachings that I have found. It's all about unconditional love and acceptance that we are all connected to the Source. And I don't know of a single religious tradition that doesn't say that. And so people are very accepting and very excited that they have something to do that doesn't require commitment to any particular traditional path.
Yeah, that's very interesting because a lot of people are looking for more spirituality as opposed to religion. And so having something that's kind of outside of those boundaries is really good because even yoga practitioners kind of get caught up sometimes with the yoga comes from a specific tradition. And so people will shy away from it no matter how good form it might be. And so this one might avoid some of that, which is kind of nice.
I've had many Christians, I've taught this to many Christians. I've taught it to Christian groups. I've taught it to light workers. I've taught it to fellow Wiccans. I've taught it to people of many different pagan paths, shamanic paths. All of the people that have come for the teachings seem very accepting of it, and it really drives home with them. They can really connect to it. They get very excited about it. So, yes, it doesn't require any kind of preparation. It's for everybody.
That's really good. Now, if I can ask real quick, I'm going to shift away from the topic of the Matrix here for a few minutes. And I know that your background's Wiccan, and we could talk about that a little bit. But, you know, on this show, I have to be honest with you, I'm kind of known for some off-the-wall questions. I try to have some strange questions every single show, something that's going to make my guests think a little bit. So in that spirit, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. And I want to ask you a question that will help people to get to know you as a person. So I'm going to ask you, out of all the movies in the world, what would you call your favorite guilty pleasure movie?
Oh, my goodness.
Aha.
Well, that's a tough one. I have two that I watch over and over again. I mean, not every day. But I've watched each of these two movies probably a dozen times each, and I usually don't do that. So one of them is Fifth Element.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yes, I love that movie too. And the other one is 13th Warrior.
Oh, wow. Antonio Banderas, right?
Yes, well, and that, because that movie is about an old legend that's told in many different ways, in many different northern cultures. And so I love that historical connection to all these different cultures. And I love the message of that movie, and I love the way they portrayed the characters. So Fifth Element, I love the message in it. And one I was just talking about today that I'll tell you, if you think about The Matrix when you watch it, it'll make total sense to you. It's Dark Crystal.
Oh.
That movie back from the 80s, you know?
That is a favorite.
Yes.
Oh, that makes complete sense. Yeah, that's actually one of my favorites. What can you say about Jim Henson, right?
Oh, my goodness, he was a gift to the planet.
He sure was. We've only got about 90 seconds left here, so I just want to say thank you for joining me tonight. I really appreciated it. And once again, anybody that's looking, I'll send them first to the GoFundMe. That is www.gofundme.com/B4SBB4, so they can go help Lady Bonadilla get this information out there on The Matrix, and then go to her website and look for that Matrix meditation and also for where she will be teaching this next. So thank you once again for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm also on Facebook, so they can get the link to GoFundMe right from my Facebook page, too.
All right, I'll have them look there, too. Thank you so much again for joining me, and thank you, everybody out there in the listening audience. I really appreciate it. It's been a fabulous show, and we will see you next month.
Thank you very much, Jim.